Thank you, Rob and Will, for being here today. And before we do dive into the show, I would love to learn a little bit more about each of you and your professional backgrounds, connections to Northfield, whatever you'd like to share with us.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's a biggie. Go ahead.
Right. Well, as I've told a few people, the statute of limitations was lifted and I was allowed back in the community. We lived here for 26 years, and I was, among other things, a pastor of the Emmaus Church of Northfield, which is where Rob and I connect, and had all kinds of different roles in the community and left under cover of darkness, I think.
Like the Baltimore Colts.
A lot like the Colts. So I went up to Minneapolis and was a pastor of a really cool church, which is another connection that Rob and I have, the Park Avenue United Methodist Church. Had a wonderful stint there and got leukemia, and so I'm a survivor. In fact, tomorrow is my 7-year post-transplant anniversary. Yeah. It's a big deal.
Congratulations.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Incredible.
Yeah, my son was my bone marrow donor.
Wow.
And so consequently, he thinks he's all that.
As we say, you're never. He is. He's never going to let that
just
one go.
Yeah, we'll hold it over you for the rest of his life.
I was kind of gearing up to tell my daughter something, and she said, "No, Dad, I get it. I'm not in the will."
So it's fine. I know my place.
So we've been back for about 9 months, and I've been kicking around this idea of coming back. I had a show here for almost 5 years, The Long Way Home, on Sunday nights, and based on an old Tom Waits song, and we just had a great time. Rob was a part of that as well. So anyway, that's kind of...
You're getting the band back together, sounds like.
Sort of has that feel.
Rob, what about you?
Well, my story's not filled with as much tragedy as Will's.
I feel like that was said with the most amount of love, though, in like a weird way.
It is. I've been around Northfield for about 25 years. The last 17 or so working at Emmaus, doing a lot of music, doing some administration there, all kinds of stuff. Before that, I was an educator at a high school up in Minneapolis.
Okay.
So my wife is these days still an educator.
All right.
Well, she's married to you.
Yes, therefore. Right. Yeah, the travails of education.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or marriage education.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, speaking of that, today is my 31st wedding anniversary.
Oh, very nice. Happy anniversary.
I don't look like a man who could be married 31 years, but alas, I am. Just ask my wife.
Wow. You said you were you were a teacher for 17 years?
For about 15 years.
Or 15 years? Yep. Okay, what did you teach?
I taught social studies.
Okay.
And so a week like this is a pretty interesting one for me to watch.
Absolutely.
You know, what's happening on the political scene in the country. And so in some ways, I'm okay with not having to comment on that in front of a class full of students every day.
I can only imagine for any teacher, especially social studies teacher out there, walking into classroom on Monday and, what a minefield to traverse.
Yeah. Right, right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what my wife teaches now at the middle school.
Okay.
It's a lot of Minnesota history, but of course, if you're talking about that, you're talking about, you know, it's not much of a journey to get to the modern day.
Right. So. And I mean, kids are curious. Kids, they hear the stuff they want to know. So, man, we have so many former educators on the show.
I know.
Like, all the time. I'm a former educator myself. So,
yeah,
it's so funny. We get so many former teachers in here.
You know, you're all good people.
That's true. We are. Driven, we're pretty amazing. I'm not going to lie.
driven away by a bad system. But
unfortunately. But, all right. So, let's get into your show. And I want to start off with the title. It's called On a Tangent.
Yeah.
Tell me about that title and what your overarching kind of theme is going to be for the show.
Yeah. Well, On a Tangent, it just basically gives us license to talk about whatever we feel like, which is kind of what we do. So years ago, when I was growing up, kid in St. Paul, reading the St. Paul Pioneer Press, there was a syndicated column by Sidney Harris from the Chicago Tribune. It showed up once a week or so in my paper. And, you know, I'm growing up and reading the opinion page. I mean, that ought to be a leading indicator of where
that
I
says
was
something.
But he would title his column every once in a while, Things I Learned While Looking Up Other Things. Mm-hmm. And that was always my favorite Sidney Harris column, because I would learn stuff that I would never otherwise learn. And I love, I know, Rob, you and I have talked about this. The rabbit hole is not a negative term.
Love the rabbit hole.
Yeah, we love going down the rabbit hole. except when you realize you've just spent 3 hours on YouTube.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. It can suck away your time.
Yeah, it's a little disconcerting. Yeah. But on a tangent, we just feel like when we're off on a tangent, really, really rich stuff comes our way. So...
Yeah, it's fun, and it's fun to sort of not restrain yourself or not have to sometimes. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like that might be what's in store for us here. Some unexpected twists and turns. Mm-hmm. We'll kind of backbone some of the show with music, and of course, for anyone who's done what Will just mentioned, a 3-hour rabbit hole trek on YouTube. You know, whether it's music or something else. For me, it's often music, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And so there are, you know, there's all kinds of rich possibility involved there. So we'll start kind of in a spot each week with each show with a theme that we are sort of loosely loyal to.
Loosely loyal.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think that's, and we were talking a little off air before the show about how, especially when you start out on a venture like this, you don't know where it's going to take you. And, you know, all of a sudden you might be 6 episodes in or 20 episodes in or whatever, and you're like, I like the foundation, but maybe we want to change this or that about it. So it's
like,
really...
like maybe change the host.
We'll see.
I can already see. I've only known you two all of 10 minutes, and I feel like I can already see a lot of great chemistry. I think this show has a ton of potential.
I think it's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Plus, with your diverse backgrounds, you know, you being a former educator, you being are you still a minister or pastor?
No, I stepped down. Not of my own accord, and mm-hmm. I wasn't shown the door, but my illness dictated that I had to do things differently. But sure. I still preach now and again, in out-of-the-way places, which is a good spot for me.
Yeah.
You were just over at the Methodist Church week?
I did, last week, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes it's kind of nice when you do have that flexibility to not always be super committed or tied down to a full-time position, but rather just be like, hey, I want to come in and do guest sermons every now and again, you know?
Yeah, you know, it sort of works, but that relationship with the congregation and listeners is priceless.
It's
really wonderful. You know, Rob, you were talking about music, and we're both love improvisational music. Because we don't know where it's going, so jazz and blues and bluegrass and for many years I hosted a festival, which kind of grew to be a really big thing, the Minnesota Bluegrass and Old Time Music Association Festival, and got to meet all kinds of musicians and but I love that about bluegrass when the musicians take a break, you know. You don't know where they're going, and I'm pretty sure they don't know where they're going. Which is really rich.
Yeah, sometimes what has the most effect or in defining where you're going is where you're going.
Yeah.
You know, what makes a note is the next note and the next. Yeah. When it comes to improvisational music, you know.
Right.
Well, and speaking of where you're going with On Tangent, you're going to be live. Which I think is super interesting because with my podcast with my spouse, we've only ever done pre-recorded stuff. And I think that's probably for the best because we make a lot of flub-ups. So. So what made you decide to want to have a live show as opposed to a pre-recorded show?
Yeah, so years ago when I did The Long Way Home here in this very room, we always did it live. And so I think the faux pas are kind of part of the deal with us. You know, how it's not about what you do, it's about how you recover.
Yeah. Sure.
I just figured you wanted to do it live because then you can order food.
Yeah. When we were here before, we would sometimes say on the air, I don't know, does anybody have some, warm chocolate chip cookies? And there'd be a knock at the door. I kid you not.
Yeah.
And people would come by.
That's cool.
Those poor people with nothing to do but listen to us. So.
Well, and then you can also comment in real time about the active street scene out here unfolding on Division Street in downtown Northfield. There's a lot of stuff happening.
You're really... If you're counting on 8 o'clock on Monday night for activity on Division Street, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
The sidewalks are fully rolled up at that point.
at least this far down on Division.
Yeah, right.
That's true. I mean, I know we've had during our morning show, people will drive by and honk at us or just knock on the window, which sometimes startles you.
Yes.
There's a lip print right behind you because someone blew Ryan a kiss.
Oh, I see it. How sweet.
I didn't notice it at all.
As I cruise in each Sunday morning to go to my church gig, I see Wendy hard at work in here, and we'll always, on the hopes, my wife kind of makes fun of me for this inclination, but we'll raise my hand in an enthusiastic wave in the hopes that she's looking out the window, which she never is. She's always buried on the board.
She is the hardest working person in radio, man. She is concentrating on what she's doing. She does a great show.
But it's fun to see you guys doing your stuff, as the rest of the world.
Monkeys in the zoo, man.
So for your first show, do you have any ideas yet as to what you're going to be doing, or still working on that?
We got a few tunes in mind.
Okay.
Tunes about wandering, since we intend to wander aimlessly ourselves. So those are, Rob, you've got a few up your sleeve.
Yeah. We'll hit some familiar ones and maybe some that are a little, some B-side cuts as well.
Cool.
And then kind of see where that takes us.
You going to let your producer know what the music you'd like to play is?
Yeah, I suppose that's a step.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. Fair
enough. We will do that. We also want to riff a little bit on some of our favorite comedians. I don't know if you ever hear Stephen Wright, but that guy,
he's great.
He's on a tangent. I don't think he's ever coming back.
Just on a permanent tangent.
He is. I love a few. I got a couple Stephen Wright quotes here. What's another word for thesaurus?
Oh, man.
I bought some powdered water, but I didn't know what to add.
Yeah, there you
go. So when can we expect to hear that first episode and episodes going forward? What's the schedule?
Yeah.
Fourth Monday of the month.
Fourth Monday of the month. We'll be, we just think that's once a month is probably about right for the likes of us.
Yeah.
And we're happy to join what sounds like a great Monday night lineup.
We have a fantastic rotation now. Monday. Ryan, we have you guys, the Moxies.
Out in the open.
Out in the open with the Moxies. And then we have the Naked Artist, second Mondays, which is Meredith Fierke and Jessica Prill and Tammy Ressler. Third Mondays is Geeking Out with Cyrus Kirby and Mandy Everhart talking about the hobbies and things that just really get them going. And then you guys on a tangent on Monday nights.
Right.
And then on the fifth Monday, if there is one, we'll rest.
Yes.
There you go. And 8 p.m., right?
8 p.m.
Yeah.
Okay. 8 p.m. after Mick Sterling presents.
So did I hear the word hobby?
Yes, you did.
Wow. Rob, do you have any hobbies?
Yeah, I love quilting.
Oh, you quilt.
Yeah. Well, I live in Minnesota. We all need quilts. The more quilts, the better. Well, you've been paying attention to the weather for the last week, for Pete's sake.
I've been quilting like mad myself, but all of it winds up on the cutting room floor, so to speak. Yeah. So,
Well, how about you? Hobbies?
Well, I used to do some woodworking, some carving. In fact, I've got a... I don't know if you can see it here. The listener probably can't see this little scar I got on my right index finger.
Maybe we can post that on the website later today.
It's a whittling accident happened at, in a national park. And I won't go into the circumstances of the accident. But as a preacher, former preacher, if that right index finger goes down, you get workman's comp.
What is that called? The wagging finger or the preaching finger?
Yeah. It's a scolding finger.
The scolding. That's what it was. Right. That's what it was for my mother.
Yeah.
I think we just got like a 30-second minute clip, a little preview.
There's your preview of On a Tangent, right?
I love it. Yeah. Well, Rob Bryden and Will Healy, thank you so much. We look forward to On a Tangent and all the wonderful things that are going to come out of that.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Rich.
I want to just say we're thrilled with this new leadership here. And, Rich, so glad you stepped in. And now to meet Ryan and some of your other staff. This is a crack team.
Indeed.
That was the proper amount of sucking up. You got
there you go. Perfect.
You just got another extra month of show.
Well, that takes us to the end of our morning show at 9.